You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Jessica, what did you think of Jock Peterson yesterday?
Billy, I have not had a single second to not only, like, watch sports, but, like, go on Twitter and see what the is going on. Like, I have been in meetings nonstop since I got down here.
This is what he did. What do you know what he did or not?
No, I have not had a second. What did he do?
I did like how you just went to despicable performance.
Yeah, though, I know the Cubs won, but I don't really know what happened.
So in the bottom of the ninth, I think it was, there was like runners on second and third. They were down one, and he gets a hold of one, and he just starts, like, he does like a very cocky drop of the bat and like going to pimp out what he thinks is a walk-off home run that gets caught in the warning track. It ends up tying the game because the runner tagged up and scored, and then they go extra innings and they win an extra innings, but he thought that he won the game and was like pimping the shit out of it.
Despicable, like then, I said.
Yeah. And his face, they had like the camera on his face as he was getting to first base and realized he did not get a hold of it, and then they just kept going back to him dugout where like everyone was giving him shit.
That's funny. Did you see Rizzo like run away after he hit the...
They were chasing him with like baby powder or something, right?
I don't know what it was.
It was odd.
I did see that. That was, I mean, my Rizzo senses were tingling last night as I was trying to pack and tuck myself into bed. So I did see that. But
why do you like Anthony Rizzo so much?
Because he joined the Cubs at a time when they were really bad and he was young. He has a really, I think, endearing like disposition. He's always kind of been that team player guy who has like stuck with the team, and then he had, I mean, him and Chris Bryant were kind of like the face of the 2016 team when they won the World Series. And like he was the oldest vestige of the really crappy Cubs era. He was not part of the Theo Epstein rebuild where like Bryant and Jay Hay and Baez, those were all Epstein guys who came in and they were expected to do well. But Rizzo was like kind of there from the beginning, mid-2010s when the Cubs stunk.
So he's a Cub lifer.
Yeah, he's kind of just embodies like the before, during, and after of the Cubs' success, I think. And like a lot of the newer guys don't as much. I still like them, but that's why I love Rizzo specifically. And, you know, Anthony Rizzo, he's a nice Italian man. You know, I'm Italian, so you gotta like stand up for the Italians.
Do you support other fellow Italians, like across sports? Do you have others? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show, when you are, an Americanized Italian?
Italian-American.
Okay, thank you for helping me with that.
Dangerous territory. Yeah.
Do you got to stand up for the Italians? Put it on the poll.
Do you have to stand up for the Italians?
Like, you're wondering if she's rooting for Rocco Baldelli?
Right. Mm-hmm. Vinny Testaverde tattoo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just, like, I know, like, my grandmother would love Anthony Rizzo, right? So, like, I have to root for him on her behalf. the true like old Italians that I grew up with would have been like, there's a Rizzo on TV. Like that's, you know what I mean? I don't know.
You and Billy will always have a connection point if you just speak of baseball. I can't believe I didn't get to this yesterday, Billy, because it was funny watching people who haven't been able to pelt the Astros during a pandemic to watch New York Yankee fans specifically. Look at how radiant. Look at how Billy goes from slouching soccer segment to just you look so happy right now with what happened to the Astros the other night where they're just, somebody's dressed as Oscar the Grouch and they've got trash cans all over the place. What were some of the details that you liked the best?
It was glorious. These are fans that did not see, no fans obviously because last year there were no fans at the games, but the Yankees and the Astros didn't even play each other last year, right? Because everybody was playing their own division or like whatever the equivalent of their division, and these people have been holding on to this grudge now for 2 years. And they did not forget about it. I think there's only like 3 or 4 Astros that were even on that team. And anytime any of them did anything, they heard it. People were going in Oscar the Grouch costumes, not being let into the game. Inflatable garbage cans were being taken away from fans in the stands so that they couldn't wave them and throw them on the field. The pettiness was at another level. And I loved every minute of it. There was, I think, 10,000 fans in the stands, and it sounded like 50,000 people were there. And this poor Dusty Baker, I'm sorry, I feel bad for him. He goes on there and he has to kind of defend the Astros and he has to kind of speak up for Jose Altuve, and he had absolutely nothing to do with any of that. He's just the guy that kind of took over when they fired the manager.
Now, this Oscar the Grouch costume supposedly cost about $85-$88. Anybody know where to get an Oscar the Grouch costume?
Yeah, the internet, probably.
Amazon.
Yeah.
You can buy one on Amazon.
Are you familiar with Amazon?
Yeah. I am, but I'm envisioning a store where you walk in and see an Oscar the Grouch costume. Is that possible as well? Because I still do retail.
Spirit Halloween.
Greg has probably never bought anything on the internet. Yeah. I need to stop.
My wife does that.
I need to stop everyone here because I'm pretty sure I noticed something that I believe to be so, but I'm not totally sure. Greg spent that entire conversation that Billy was having scanning the studio for where is Billy? Where is his voice? Who is talking? He was looking. He didn't realize, I think, that Billy's not here with us today. Do I have that right in terms of your general disorientation?
Recalibrating, Dan.
Yeah. I admit I was momentarily distracted by the background. I spent 10 seconds thinking, is Billy in the studio? Because I saw a TV in the background. I thought he might be in the next room.
Right.
Yeah, he could be down the hall, sure.
Jesus, in the control room where the TV production used to be.
Right.
Oh, we're getting old.
Greg, name something. Let's see if we can find it on the internet within 5 minutes, because I bet we can.
You can find anything on the internet, Greg. Like the question was a curious one. I understand. I don't want to beat you up too much about this, but when you say, where do you get an Oscar the Grouch costume, the idea is foreign to you of a box delivering it to your house?
No. My wife does that all the time. She does nothing but order. I still go retail whenever I can. So when I asked that question, I was picturing like a party store or something, or where you would get a Halloween costume.
Wouldn't it be great if they were like a city that was like for parties?
I've never Party City. Yeah, I have never physically seen an Oscar the Grouch costume.
How do you feel about costumes and clothes in general when you're ordering them online, delivered to the house? Because if they don't fit, then you have to go through the whole return thing. I like going to a good store and trying on the shirt in person.
That's right. Yes. Exactly. Yep. No, he's right.
Okay. That way, if the large doesn't fit, boom, right. XL is right there on the rack.
Right. I
mean, that seems like a pretty good back in my day.
Whatever happened to the dressing room?
I mean, the whole thing seems like a pretty good back in my day. Right? Your general confusion.
Let me write that down.
With convenience.
Welcome.
Yeah, railing and ranting against convenience.
Greg, here's a fun fact we learned last week on the Mystery Crate. Jennifer's actually met Oscar the Grouch.
What?
I have, yeah. I met Oscar a couple years ago in the studio at Sports Illustrated where I used to work as a producer.
Wow.
I met Cookie Monster, Grover, Abby, and Oscar.
I don't know who Abby is.
My wife.
Well... Who's Abby? Is that one of the...
She's a character on Sesame Street. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Stu, describe Abby.
I can't. I mean... Okay. My wife or Abby the...
Abby, it's Abby Kababby, I think, right?
Abby Kadabby. It's Abby Kadabby.
Okay, you're pretending you don't know, but you just corrected me on her name.
My daughters are 17 now. It's been a minute, but it's Abby Kadabby, but I can't tell you anything other than it's Abby Kadabby.
Is she a magician?
I think
she's a fairy.
Roy knows. Roy, yeah. Tell us about Abby.
Abby is a fairy. She has a magic wand, and she rhymes with her little fairy spells there. So, yeah, she's a fairy.
I see.
What were the greatest highlights from your Sports Illustrated experience? Is this in the top moments, meeting the Sports Illustrated characters? I'm sorry, meeting the Sesame Street characters?
I would say the Sesame Street characters were the most famous people we ever had on any of the shows I worked on. And the overwhelming response from people when they saw that I met Oscar was greater than when I met... I'm not going to name drop here, but a lot of other NFL players and actors. I met Sean Astin, Rudy, Samwise Gamgee. That was a big deal for me. People didn't care about that as much.
I mean, you really did transition into name dropping pretty efficiently after saying you weren't going to name drop.
Well, I feel like I got to prove myself here, Dan. You know, you hired me as a producer. I got to prove I have some booking skills, right? I can get Samwise Gamgee on the show. He follows me on Twitter now. No big deal.
So if you could choose, just to kind of close the loop here, would you rather meet Anthony Rizzo or Big Bird?
Anthony Rizzo.
Really?
Big Bird has never appealed to me. The only Cookie...
I
was going to say the only Sesame Street person that I really relate to is Cookie Monster. I said this on the Mystery Crate. He's a very sweet man. I really admire him. I admire how he just is comfortable being himself and eating cookies and doesn't let people bring him down.
He's a monster. Monsters.
Yeah, why
but he's a sweet monster, though.
Yeah. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Cookie Monster the sweetest of the monsters? Chris Cody, you were a garbage can last Halloween making fun of the Astros. So your thoughts were what as you saw what was happening here with the Yankee fans just berating them in a way? Because the Astros, for everything that happened there, they did kind of get off light in almost every way for stealing a World Series. 100 years ago, we talk about a fixed World Series. We still talk about it. The Astros got off pretty light in the modern age.
No one benefited from the pandemic more than the Houston Astros. But the funny thing about that night, I think Billy hit on it, is they were booing guys who weren't even on the team. I mean, there's like 3 or 4 guys left from that World Series team.
They got off easy. You got to go harder. Yankees fans were soft yesterday. There, I said it.
What?
Do more.
Really? Wow. What should they do?
Right.
I don't know. Like, bust into the center field wall with an actual garbage truck. Somebody hijack a garbage truck and then make it onto the field.
It would be so great if teams started behaving that way instead of doing all the silly sports protocol. We've seen it in social media where the riskiest they're willing to be on stuff is we'll do some things that rip your guys on social media. But imagine if you had an orchestrated marketing effort where people were in meetings. How do we maximum insult the Astros? Let's have a garbage truck and we'll bring Mariano Rivera out on it and he will drive it around the outfield. And he will wave like a prom queen to the audience. And we will just, on each base when the Astros are on the field, we will just dump a bunch of garbage on their players.
Yeah, I'm also picturing on the Jumbotron, when every Astro is coming up to the plate, you see a cartoon of a garbage truck driving across the giant
How
Jumbotron.
Great? Why wouldn't can somebody? They'll throw baseballs at each other is what will end up happening, right? They'll just start throwing baseball.
The unwritten rules come into play.
At marketing
and
people,
there'll
be people in skyboxes and people will be throwing baseballs at them. Honestly, I say it seriously though. Do you have to respect the game so much that you also have to respect the cheaters?
I have a theory that MLB wants to downplay the garbage can tropes heading into this, Astros-Yankee series, or just down the line when anyone plays the Astros, because it is kind of embarrassing for MLB.
Of course, yeah.
And I think the pandemic really kind of pushed it all out of our minds, because going into the 2020 baseball season, that was the biggest story, and then the season kind of got canceled and postponed, and then we didn't really think about it as much after that. But the Astros were in really hot water at the end of 2019, and now they're finally getting a little made fun of. And it seems to me like it behooves MLB to downplay that.
By the way, Yankees and Yankee fans, don't think that I forgot about that letter that was supposed to come out that somehow disappeared and was hidden right as the pandemic started. Because there's something going on there as well. And I will get to the bottom of it eventually.
That sounds a little bit like a threat. Billy, though, specifically as it speaks to you, there has to be, you love baseball so much. Mm-hmm. It has to enrage you that most recently, not only did these guys all get off light, but the pandemic allowed them.
They didn't get punished at all. They didn't get off light. There was no punishment for them whatsoever.
Worse than that, though, Billy, worse than even that is they were lecturing us as they made their run through the postseason last year. Like, they were leaning in to sort of bleep off. We might be cheaters, but look, we're also good when we don't cheat. And to see
well,
that.
Well, they're right, though. I mean.
They are right, but just to have them not be punished and then feel like they didn't either learn any lessons about it, it's what made people enjoy so much what Yankee fans did.
I have to ask, though, because Billy made that threat. Don't think I've forgotten about the letter. I have no idea what you're talking about. Were the Yankees, like, I think there were, are you talking about how the Yankees also might have had a scandal of their own and we've kind of forgotten about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there was a scandal. And then it went to court because they were trying to get it, like, unsealed because I believe, and I could be wrong, the commissioner's office had the letter kind of, like, sealed. It was a private letter that was sent, and then it was kind of covered up, and then it was, like, went to court to try to get it out. And then the pandemic happened, and everyone's like, eh, there's more important things to do than what's going on with the Yankees right now. But don't think that I forgot about it. And by the way, they're not that great, the Astros. So don't start with they're good players, even if they don't cheat. Then don't cheat if you're so good, okay? Astros, don't cheat. And Carlos Correa, enough of you, all right? Yeah. Yes. Did I get my wife's wedding ring from the same jeweler as you, according to the picture that he had put on the wall? Yes, I did. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to call you out. And I'm sick and tired of you and Altuve whining and complaining like little baby cries every time someone says something mean to you because you guys are frauds and your championship doesn't count.
Altuve looks scared.
I told you that Billy is enraged. It's the most confident I see him when he rails against.
I don't know what side to be on, Dan, because I hate the Yankees, and this is a situation where I have to choose the Yankees over the Astros. And then you're saying, you know what, they should have done something, and I'm thinking, yeah, Waste Management probably should have sponsored a giveaway during this series. Yes, they could have given away, obviously not garbage cans, but maybe gray mini buckets that they give out, and they look like garbage cans, and then the fans could bang on those things, right? But then I'm in the position where I'm cheering for the Yankees, and I don't want to do that. And Red Sox, with your Apple Watches, I didn't forget about you either.
Well, Billy, now that things are getting back to normal, is it possible for us to create content around you going out to the stadium and berating the Astros when they come into town or any of these other teams that you have a special wrath toward? Because I think we can outfit you in all sorts of things. I don't think the Marlins are going to confiscate all your stuff. Couldn't we get you in there? Since Chris says this needs to be done better, can we be the one-man show that does it better? Is it in any way possible to send you out there and with signs that say, I'm not going to forget this?
That's clever.
Threatening signs. I don't know how to do this. Help me out. Feel free to help me out.
One guy at the Yankee game said, I had a better sign, but the Astros stole it. good, but better than dance.
Here is one of the signs that was highlighted in an article June Lee wrote. Quote, you don't deserve your accolades.
Wow, strong.
And that one was able to get in.
they allowed that through security. You know, that's kind of polite. And you're probably right. We'll allow that in. You can't wear something more insulting than that, but you can bring that sign in.
But Billy's not answering the question.
No, he's not. Billy, would you be willing to do this?
I'm looking at the calendar, see if any of these teams are coming to town and when that may be happening.
Yeah, they don't play the Astros this year. They play the Red Sox, but it's at Boston.
Oh, that defeats the purpose. No, Astros,
well,
they don't
probably
play.
Should have considered that.
Don't worry, Dan. I won't forget this next year either. If the Astros are ever here ever again, I won't forget it.
You want to talk about
And Michael Fiers, don't think I forgot about you either, okay? And you're the one that started this whole thing. Don't think I forgot about what you did to Stanton and that stupid beard that you had in the shape of a G on your face. None of your no-hitters count to me.
I have a solution for this. I'm sure the Tampa Bay Rays actually play. But they certainly play the Red Sox and the Yankees, and they might be in that they're in the same American League now. Probably play the Astros, so we can just send you up to Tropicana Field.
But then I have to go to
the Trop. They do have the Yankees coming in. They do. Mike in July, they have the Yankees coming in. So one of the three teams that Billy hates, although he's on their side right now, you can have at it, Bill, with the Yankees.
Billy, I just want to make sure I'm quoting you correctly here. None of your no-hitters count to me, loser, snitch.
Yeah, correct. You got that right.
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I have no idea how this one is going to go over because I've been wanting to talk to Canelo Alvarez for a while. I want to understand a little bit about, you're talking about pound for pound excellence here that is pretty dominant across a sport that I have cared about, but it's difficult to interview him in English, and it may indeed prove to be difficult to interview him in Spanish as well as we try to break out our dusty and rusty Spanish skills as a show on Canelo Alvarez with the idea of many of you are not going to understand what this is. This is audio for a very small portion of you that know what Spanish is, but I suggest you stick around if you want to hear Canelo Alvarez sing.
Spanish is a language.
Yes,
that
I think we know what Spanish is. Yeah, it's speaking Spanish.
It's not the main language in this country, but a solid case for second, I think.
Right. Yes.
And so we're going to talk to him now, and then the audio will be missed by most of you, but the video will have subtitles.
Felicidades, me contaron que acabas de firmar un contrato muy bueno.
Ah, sí, no tan bueno como los tuyos, pero bastante bueno, sí.
No, es muy bueno, felicidades.
Gracias. Tengo mis socios aquí, mis compadres aquí, Billy y Chris. Me van a ayudar con la entrevista porque lo queremos hacer en español y lo vamos a traducir. Y nos han dicho que no te molestan las preguntas en inglés. Billy, what is your preference here? Do you want to ask him questions? ¿Qué?
Yo creo que podemos preguntarte en español, pero es que nuestro español es una mierda, so no va a salir perfecto.
Lo que no puedan decírmelo en español o se les complique, me lo dicen en inglés y yo les contesto en español, no hay problema.
Okay.
¿Te gustan las entrevistas?
Pues la verdad es que ya me acostumbré, ¿no? Es parte de mi trabajo, pero no de que me gusten así tanto, no creas.
Entonces, ¿cómo se hace una entrevista contigo especial? ¿Cómo se hace una entrevista contigo que tú puedes disfrutar?
Pues creo que saliéndome más de lo que es el boxeo, ¿no? Más en mi vida diaria, a lo mejor una entrevista con mis caballos, jugando golf o cosas así, yo creo que es mejor.
Porque te aburres. Perfecto. Las preguntas del boxeo son un poco común. O nosotros no conocemos esto como tú lo conoces. Entonces las preguntas nuestras del boxeo van a ser muy malas, ¿no verdad? O repetitivas.
No, la verdad es que lo que pasa es que fíjate que normalmente me preguntan las mismas preguntas en cada una de las peleas. Entonces ahora sí que es lo mismo, siempre. Créeme que no hay una pregunta diferente en cada una de mis peleas.
¿Hay algo del boxeo que no te has preguntado?
Pues realmente me han preguntado todo.
Entonces, esto es lo que vamos a hacer en el boxeo. Esta es la única pregunta que te voy a hacer. El miedo, la relación que tú tienes con nervios, con miedo, con ser honesto. Porque tener, ¿qué es la palabra? Coraje. Siempre tienes que tener miedo para tener bravura. ¿Cuándo fue la última vez que tú sentiste algo que lucía como miedo peleando?
Pues no creo que el miedo se lleve con el boxeo. No, creo que existe una adrenalina, ¿no? Una adrenalina que es la adrenalina que te hace, pues obviamente, sacar todo de ti, el coraje, todo lo que traes, más que nada, más que el miedo, ¿no? Porque yo creo que es muy malo relacionar el miedo con el boxeo.
All right, no more boxing questions. Billy, what do you have for Canelo?
Canelo, una cosa que he visto es que cuando estás entrenando para boxear, te gusta escuchar a Michael Jackson's Beat It. Que te da eso te da como, tú sabes, el pace que necesitas para entrenar.
Sí, como el ritmo, el ritmo para entrenar las piernas, el boxeo. La verdad es que cambio mucho mi música, ¿no? En un campamento escucho reggaetón, en otro escucho bachata, en otro escucho a Michael Jackson, en otro escucho a Luis Miguel, en otro escucho a Joan Sebastián, en otro escucho, o sea, le cambio mucho.
Bueno, so, te iba a preguntar, cuando sales en los weekends a cantar karaoke, ¿qué es lo que tú cantas?
Oh, música romántica. Ah. De Sebastián o de Luis Miguel, cosas así.
Really? I've got so many follow-ups there, Billy. You've got to ask.
Cuando yo salgo a cantar karaoke, yo canto la canción de Titanic, pero también he visto que tú te gustan las películas muchas. Yo no sé si has visto Titanic, que tú sabes, del bote que se dio contra el iceberg y después, tú sabes, fue para abajo y toda esa gente se murió.
Todo el mundo la ha visto.
Oh, yo no la he visto, pero canto la canción. No,
espera, yo tengo muchas preguntas del karaoke. Dame un ejemplo. Haciendo karaoke con Canelo, dinos cómo eso luce. Tienes que estar un poco borrachito, un poquito.
Sí, unas dos, tres copitas para animarme y para desinhibirme más, para saltarlo más fluido.
Canelo, hablando de botes y titánico, vi tu bote cuando estuve haciendo, ¿sabe? Como estudiando para esta entrevista. Vi que tu bote está de 101 pies, que no entiendo por qué no 100 pies y tenía que ser 101 pies. Yo no sé si tienes la razón. Y también
no, la verdad es que no, tampoco.
También vi que tiene tu nombre atrás. Eso es por si acaso está parqueado al lado de otro bote que es igual, que vale 60 millones de dólares. ¿Para qué tiene tu nombre en tu bote?
No, para empezar no vale eso. No, pues simplemente le quise poner mi nombre porque, pues... ¿Qué otro nombre le quedaría mejor, no? Creo que le puse el nombre perfecto a mi barco. Es mi barco y puedo ponerle como se me dé mi chingada gana.
Es cierto. He should say, you, Billy. Yes. En mi bote, yo estoy boxeando, yo estoy en peligro, yo voy a hacer el nombre lo que yo quiera.
¿Qué te asiste con el pie más?
No, nada. No sé realmente por qué le hicieron 101 pies. No entiendo tampoco.
¿Qué es tu cosa favorito en el bote?
Todo, la verdad es que es un barco que está hecho perfectamente, ¿no? Para lo que necesitas, ni más ni menos. No tiene cosas para meter al agua, tienes hasta tu bar para hacer barbecue, tienes cuatro recámaras, dos principales, dos para invitados. Pues tiene todo realmente, una sala muy grande, jacuzzi, tiene todo.
Todo lo necesario.
¿Cuál es el lugar favorito tuyo? ¿Dónde tú tienes la más paz?
Mi casa. Creo que en San Diego es donde me la paso mejor. Estoy más tranquilo. Tengo paz aquí en San Diego.
San Diego es un lugar tremendo. ¿Por qué escogiste ahí?
Por el clima, la ciudad muy tranquila. Pues la verdad es que me encanta la vida aquí en San Diego. Mucha calidad de vida.
Cuando te vi en el almuerzo, me dijiste que no te gustaba hablar de los raíces tuyos, que los raíces tuyos, donde llegaste al boxeo, la niñez tuya, ¿qué eran las cosas que se pueden hablar? No. Dime.
No te dije que no me gustaba hablar. Más que nada, en entrevistas no me gustaba como hacerme la víctima, ¿sí me entiendes? Como que digan, ay, pobrecito, sufrió tanto, o cualquier cosa así, porque pues la verdad es que carecí de muchas cosas, pero sufrí, yo no sufrí, porque pues no conocía otra cosa más que lo que tenía ahí, ¿no? ¿Por qué iba a sufrir? Eso es a lo que me refería, ¿no? Que no me gusta como decir, ay, que yo sufrí, que mira, y que esto, y que el otro, porque pues la verdad es que no, porque no conocía otra vida más que esa.
¿Era una niñez contenta?
Sí.
¿Y qué tipo de relación tienes con la comunidad que la creciste en México?
Muy bien. La verdad que me llevo con muchos que desde que conozco desde niño. Y pues realmente siempre he sido una persona muy cerrada en mi círculo de amigos. Y los amigos que he tenido toda mi vida, pues sí, los sigo teniendo.
Tú no puedes vivir en México, ¿no? ¿Verdad? Es demasiado locura.
Sí puedo, pero... tendría que tener escoltas, seguridad y todo ese tipo de cosas. Y la verdad, pues es que esa no es calidad de vida.
Tú no puedes explicar a nosotros qué es ser Canelo en México.
No, la verdad es que me siento muy contento, muy orgulloso de lo que he logrado y la gente cómo me admira, ahora sí que me reconoce los triunfos que he tenido, lo que doy a México, y la verdad que me siento muy orgulloso que paso por donde quiera, o voy a cualquier restaurante o cualquier parte y la gente me reconoce y me admira y me felicita. Eso es, la verdad, que un orgullo.
No es demasiado, porque yo sé que México tiene mucho orgullo por ti, tú tienes mucho orgullo en México, pero me imagino que es mucho, Canelo, que cualquier lugar que tú vayas, por ejemplo, yo me imagino que tú eres en el boxeo tremendo, pero me imagino que en los Estados Unidos la gente no te está molestando tanto.
No creas, es prácticamente casi lo mismo, la verdad que sí, estoy muy bendecido de que donde quiera que voy la gente siempre me reconoce y me ve y me apoya. En México, pues sí, es una locura, ¿no? Ir a cualquier lado o cualquier restaurante, pues sí es una locura.
Otra fascinación tuya son los caballos. ¿Qué es lo de caballos que te fascina tanto?
Todo, la verdad que es una terapia, te relajas mucho el conectar con los caballos, el estar en los caballos te relaja muchísimo, es un ambiente muy bonito y aparte pues me gustan desde niño.
¿Te gustan las carreras de caballos o no?
No mucho. Las carreras de caballos no mucho, la verdad que disfruto más los caballos así. Me gusta mucho la equitación, que es los caballos de salto, que mi hija es campeona ahí en eso, la más grande. Entonces, pues me gusta mucho eso.
Obviamente también cuando estás entrenando, estás en buena forma y tú sabes, estás bien sano. ¿Cómo luce como un cheat meal para ti?
¿Cómo luce o qué es lo que me gusta?
¿Qué es lo que te gusta comer cuando no estás entrenando?
Pues fíjate que antes comía pues de todo, ¿no? Comía muy mal, pero llegó un momento que me acostumbré a comer bien y aunque no esté en dieta siempre como muy bien, pero si me dijeras, pues me comería unos tacos de al pastor.
No, te iba a preguntar eso, ¿no vas a comer como McDonald's? Que iba a preguntarte, con todo lo que has ganado, ¿cuándo es la última vez que compraste algo del Dollar Menu o usaste un cupón para comprar algo?
No, siempre como a veces Panda Express, In-N-Out, cosas así, como.
Te está preguntando si tú comes mierda, si comes...
Sí, como mierda a veces.
No, y cuando usas los cupones para ahorrar un poquito de dinero,
cupones,
tú sabes.
No está usando ningunos cupones.
Sí, no, la verdad es que cuando los tenía que usar, no los usaba. Entonces ahorita pues menos.
¿Cuál es el taco perfecto para Canelo Álvarez?
El de al pastor.
¿De dónde?
Con mi hermano. Mi hermano tiene una taquería en Guadalajara, buenísimos, que se llama Al Pastor del Rica. Muy buenos.
Canelo, la noticia que salió esta semana es que Logan Paul va a tener una lucha contra Floyd Mayweather. Y antes, la fin de semana pasado, Jake Paul estaba en una pelea con Ben Askren. So, si tú tenías que boxear uno de los Pauls, Jake Paul, Logan Paul o Paul Rudd, ¿cuál de los Pauls quieres boxear?
Pues yo creo que los tres en la misma noche.
¿Cuál es la persona en cualquier lugar, en las películas, en televisión, que Canelo quiere fajarse con esa persona? Por favor, déjame fajarlo.
Yo la verdad que estoy ahorita en lo mío, que es el boxeo, y quiero hacer historia y estoy enfocado 100% en eso.
Donald Trump. Se quiere decir, Donald Trump. Sí, si te digo, si pudieras fajarte contra Donald Trump, eso sí lo quieres, ¿no?
No, bueno, si se sube al cuadrilátero conmigo, créeme que no va a haber ningún respeto.
¿Tú crees que le podías ganar a Vin Diesel, a La Piedra, en un boxeo?
¿Cómo no?
Es muy diferente. Mira, la verdad que pueden estar grandes como quieras, pero la verdad que en el mundo del boxeo es totalmente diferente, ¿no?
Ok, tenemos que decirle a la gente, Canelo Alvarez against Billy Joe Saunders. The fight will be live on DAZN Saturday, May 8th. You can download the app. It's also available to fans via traditional pay-per-view. Just check your cable, satellite provider, DAZN subscription package, $69.99. It includes unlimited access to stream DAZN all summer long at no charge. Te dejamos en esto, por favor. Queremos acabar con esta entrevista oyendo a Canelo Álvarez cantando un poco de su favorito karaoke. Una canción, por favor, dando un poquito de personalidad.
Porque yo quiero que te vayas a la hora que yo quiera, te detengo.
Yeah.
I did not have him. Romántico. Canelo Álvarez. Yo no creo que la gente sabe eso de ti, que es adentro un romántico.
Sí, muy.
y no necesitaba tragos. Estaba bien.
No, está ahí bien, bien sober. Thank you. Gracias, señor. Lo
Muchas
disfrutamos.
Gracias. Muchas gracias. Buena suerte.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.